Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can I have the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you created it.
Yeah,
since you created it.
So here, let me give Chewy's going to fall off his chair.
Productivity is important, but how can I be productive if I have this one little thing in my brain that I cannot get out? And that one little thing is a soft pretzel.
Like you're having chili at 8 in the morning.
This is your creation.
Oh my God.
That reaction was worth it.
Oh my God.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I wake up every morning in a bed that's too small, drive my daughter to a school that's too expensive, and then I go to work to a job for which I get paid too little. But on pretzel day, well, I like pretzel day.
Is there a hot dog one?
Like, this is just like a
what? You said there's a hot dog one?
I thought there might have been a hot dog
I'll
one,
try
but
the other one.
I made it up.
Yeah.
This is a perfect ratio. I don't know if that's what you were going to say.
That's exactly the ratio. Somehow,
like, and we're not even dipping in the cheese. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Well, I mean, the cheese is here. I don't want to be rude.
Hi, please tell me you have a sweet pretzel left.
We do.
Thank God.
And we have 18 different toppings.
Is there any way that you could do all?
The works, you got it.
All right.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth.
Congratulations, everybody, you've made it to the end of the week.
I don't know what's going to take for you to learn this lesson.
It's not. What do you mean, learn the lesson?
Too early?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's manifesting, Chew. It's manifesting getting to the end of the day.
Just like your bets have manifested wins for those, your pocketbook and then the teams we're rooting for?
Exactly like that.
I had a disturbing ride-in today.
Do you want to talk about it or you just want to throw it out there?
Like see a ghost on your way in?
I thought it was. So, I stayed at the lake, weaved through the center of town, came to the roundabout, and there was dew on my windshield.
Sure.
I looked out, and there's a fat guy in a woman's bikini jogging with nothing else on. And it was a Brazilian cut. So I was getting the full effect.
That's awfully specific.
And I choked because I texted my wife. She's like, "And you didn't get a picture?"
Yeah, you
was
gotta
it real?
You got to keep it together in that situation. First of all, we can't tell you if it was
You're
real or not.
You're asking us?
We were not there. Second of all, what are you putting in your Mio these days?
I mean, it's clearly I'm insane or it was a lost bet. Because now I got to wake up at 5:30 tomorrow, take the same route, and see if he's doing it again.
Did anyone else see it? Should we ask our loyal listeners? Did anyone else see
it? Yeah.
Have you been out in Lake Country?
Large man
wearing a
jogging in a bikini?
Brazilian.
But it had the ties on each side.
Huh?
And it was flowered.
What color? I mean, yeah, what color?
It was kind of like yellow, purple, kind of like the Partridge Family.
Yellow, purple.
Oh, so it's like 70s? Like
hippie type
stuff? This is oddly specific. So are you worried that it's like, it was like a mirage? Are you worried it was like a hologram, like Harry Carey? Like, is that a possibility? Or are you convinced you saw this person this morning?
Well, I told you guys about the gym.
The
right?
old man walking around in
women's underwear.
Cut underwear, yes.
Am I imagining this stuff? Am I insane? Or is this normal now?
Listen, I know that we like to go and swim outside of our depth a lot here on this show, okay? It's a bit of a trademark, but I don't even feel comfortable weighing in on this. Like, honestly, like there's a part of me, too, that is like you, honestly, and we talked about it with Jason Wilde yesterday with regards to the concussions in the NFL. You have gotten hit in the head a lot, and I don't know if this is how that's showing up. I don't even feel comfortable, like, diagnosing it, hypothetically speaking.
I think it was real.
If you think it was real, I'm going to believe it was real, pal.
Like, is there a percentage of people that wear women's underwear out there
that I don't know about?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, Joshy.
Like, wait, hold on. You said, is there a percentage of people out there that wear women's underwear? I am currently wearing women's underwear right now. Okay.
males that wear women's underwear.
Yes, there is a percent. It's not a large percent, I wouldn't think, but there's a percent.
Does this fall under the same category, though, Chu? I mean, is a bathing suit the same as women's underwear? So you think somebody may, and it could be that they lost a bet, you were saying.
That's the only way I could rationalize it. Otherwise...
I mean, Homer did say for years that he would walk naked down Wisconsin Avenue if Herb Cole ever sold the Bucks. I had to talk him out of that because, well, I mean, even though Herb sold the Bucks and good things have happened for the Bucks since then, that's Homer walking naked down Wisconsin Avenue.
Yeah,
not
he
good.
Still might have that toupee that he could just tape on junk.
It's not good for anybody.
I don't know. There's a part of me that feels like he should have had to pay off that bet.
Yeah.
You can't make those egregious, like outlandish, like big statements for years and years and years. And then when the opportunity finally presents itself for you to do it, have somebody of your logic can talk you out of it.
Well, here's the problem, Jen. I really didn't want to be, you know, hosting a show solo because Homer was being incarcerated for walking naked. Down Wisconsin Avenue.
That is not our responsibility. When the Bucks won a few years ago, you would not have had to do that.
When I'm responsible for Homer in a similar matter, I'm responsible for him.
He should have had to pay it off.
That was on me.
I agree.
From someone who
you.
Pays off all their bets, he should have had to pay it off.
Still owe him tickets, pal.
To what?
Yeah, if you get him tickets to this year's Packers Vikings opener,
the statute of limitations is run out.
Speaking of paying off, I saw this scenario pop up on social media yesterday, and I definitely think that it's one that a lot of people can relate to. So it says, follow me. Daughter 23, law student, goes to dinner with friends. She orders an appetizer and one drink, total $22. Friends, older employed, order entrees, wine, and dessert. End of meal, friends agree, let's just split it. Daughter's total, $84. What is the right response here? $84? You ate $22 worth of stuff and you're spending $84 because it's easier, quote unquote, for your friends to split it? This is not how we do business, is it, Chu?
No.
We're making
people
spend
told her, don't worry about it. Yours is $22. We got it.
Yeah.
The group here will split it. You're out. Right?
But this happens all the time. This happens to people all the time. You know, some people like to indulge, have a few bevvies, you know, a couple apps with their dessert. Who wants dessert, right? And there are people who are like, I'm just going to have my water and this salad. And all of a sudden you're going, okay, everybody totaling up. Yeah, just throw in a hundo. You know, like. Yeah.
But hasn't this been like eliminated with Venmo and Cash App and all these different ways that you can pay? Like one person can pay and then everybody just pays that person back by pulling out Venmo. Hasn't most of these issues been solved by technology?
I would agree with you that most of them have, but apparently not all of them. Like, this is startling to me that people would somehow be able to justify one person in your party spending three times what they actually spent.
Well, and if these are actually good friends of yours, you should be able to speak up. Because maybe they weren't aware that this is everything that she got, right? You're kind of off in your own world. You're having a conversation. I mean, if the total is $84, I'm guessing there's a significant amount of people in this, unless it's a fancy-ass restaurant, that you're paying $84 per person for a meal. So, like, you got to be able to go, hey, no, that's not cool with me. I didn't have that much tonight. Like, you got to be able to speak up. Like, these are terrible friends.
Well, wait, but is there any responsibility from the people who could clearly afford it to also recognize that maybe not everyone is in their same tax bracket? Like, Chewy, you're the wealthiest one of all of us, right? If we all go out, you know that we're not making as much money across the board as you are. Now, that's not saying you got to pick up our tab, but at least you're aware of that detail, that dynamic of our relationship, of our friendship.
I'd usually see it, you know. And I have friends that I'll go 4-1. Like, Chernobyl corn's tighter than two coats of paint.
Wait, okay, quick side, since Brett's going to be joining us here in a couple weeks, who's cheaper, Brett or Chernobyl corn?
Who? This is what's throwing me off. I don't know if Brett's ever picked up a meal, except the one time we went down to film that commercial with him like 5 years ago with me and Free.
Where you were terrible.
And one of Brett's buddies was there, and Brett picked up breakfast, and it was like, a big monumental thing. Like, it was $33. You know what I mean?
He had coffee and a piece of bacon.
I don't ever remember Brett in all my years playing because he roomed with Frank. So what they would do when we would leave, when we'd have team breakfast, they would set up like a table where you'd take care of incidental so you wouldn't have to go into the lobby. They'd do it right there. I swear Brett never went up to that table. Never. It was always Frank, and Frank always picked it up.
How often was Frank going to the picking up incidental table? Every week?
Every week.
Like what? Like when you're saying incidentals, like they're making they're damaging
movie,
the room? Oh, okay. So
things
like pay-per-view,
like
room service, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't ever remember Brett. Brett would still have his per diem, on Wednesday. And we would get it Saturday. Yeah. Yeah, he's cheap. But Chernobyl corn's on the 4-1.
He's on the 4-1.
Yeah.
And that's a plan that you've established for friends who you know don't have as much as you have. And you're going, I'll pick up four. No, you pick up three, right? 3-1?
Yeah. It could be three, could be five, somewhere in there.
Because you told us about the 3-1 deal before. I actually kind of like it. You know, like I'll pick up three so long as you recognize that I've picked up the last three and it's your turn now to pick up the one.
Yeah.
But so in this situation, you're blaming the friends, Gabe? It's the friends' fault for not recognizing?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends upon how big the group is. Because again, if it's a large group and you have different people interacting with each other, like if it's eight people at dinner and you have all these people interacting with one another, like I may not realize on the other side of the table, you only spent $22.
Is it insulting, though, to be acutely aware of other people's financial dynamics? Is it insulting for me to walk into a situation and just assume that I'm the rich one here and y'all are peasants and, I'll take care of that. I know that you don't have the means to do that because that feels a little outside, too.
There's a right and a wrong way to do it. Like, anytime I'll tell you this. When I was 23 years old and I had a full-time job, I wasn't making much in that full-time job. And, you know, a lot of friends, especially my college friends, would be engineers and things like that. But I'm walking into every situation knowing I'm responsible for me and I'm going to pick up whatever tab I run up. I'm not expecting somebody else to grab that for me.
So I think in this situation, and again, I know that the mom uses the word friends, right? And she talks about how they're older and employed. Maybe they're not like good friends, right? Because that's the other dynamic I think that messes this up. If they're just more like colleagues or people that like you associate with occasionally socially, maybe you don't feel comfortable articulating that you don't make as much money or you don't have the means to pick up the $84 or that that $84 compared to the $22 that you actually ate and drank is going to mess your week up.
Yeah.
It's going to mess up your budget. Like, okay, well, guess what's not getting paid right now? The electric bill.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, being a law student, I don't know if like this is people at the law firm she's interning at.
Well, how
like
do you
that.
Do it when you go out with buddies to a bar? Just a bar, no food. And do you start a tab? Do you throw down the card? Who throws down the card at the end of the day? Do they Venmo it to you? Do you break it up?
A lot of times, the way, especially with the tight friend group that I have, like I'm going to try to pick up a round. I'm probably going to try to pick up a couple of rounds. And over the course of time, I think with the friend group I have, it ends up evening out in the wash. You know, like, okay, I got three rounds tonight. Well, next time Josh is going to fight and he's going to make sure he gets around next time. And, you know, Eric Name makes sure he gets around and people like that. Like we're really good, I think, our group about that, where we're just trying to like take care of each other.
If we plan to be out for a while, you kind of just rotate through. Gabe gets around, the next round is on me, and then you just kind of go through it. And if someone doesn't buy a round, you don't go, hey, it's on you next time. You just figure eventually you'll be the person who doesn't end up paying.
So you don't start a tab?
Well, like at the bar, yeah. Like I'll throw my card down, open up a tab, and like, yeah, put that on my tab.
Okay.
And then it comes around and I buy another
round.
Jen,
are you anti 19 checks at a table?
No, I don't care.
Yeah.
I worked in the service industry for a very long time.
Yeah.
You can figure it out. It's not that hard. You know, and all the phones now are equipped with calculators. So if I need to divide up a bill but what can be difficult is remembering who got what. Like how many sangrias did that woman have?
Yeah.
Was it three or four? You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes that can be a little dicey if you are tasked with, as the server, splitting it up based on what each person got. But some of the new technology at restaurants actually allows you to put the things under each person. So if you have a group of four, they're labeled, you know, party one, party two, party three, party four. Yeah. And as you're throwing it in, you can drop what they have underneath their thing and it will split it up for you. 800-990-3776. That's our old National Bank talk and text line. Ron in the Key weighing in already saying technology can't solve people being self-absorbed. There's always a situation where the person doesn't want to add in tax or tip into what they owe. And then you kind of have to prod them on that too. It just becomes a little dicey when the friend group isn't as close as you, Gabe, were saying your pals are. Because you guys can be transparent with each other. You can be like, hey, nope, can't do that this week, but I got you next time or something like that. Seems like this woman was in a situation where she didn't feel comfortable weighing into that. All right, we've got Jason Wilde coming up next week. We'll definitely ask him about this situation, but also the Green Bay Packers taking on the 49ers tonight in preseason football. It is Gabe's favorite part of the year.
Break it down.
We'll get into that with Jason Wilde right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
From revenue cycle optimization to working capital management, Fifth Third Bank Milwaukee knows your business requires custom solutions to meet the moments you're navigating. And that's where Fifth Third Bank Milwaukee kind of separates themselves. They want to provide you with those custom solutions. They want to add that personal touch to help you and your business succeed. Fifth Third Bank Milwaukee connects you with a network of seasoned healthcare, government, and nonprofit-focused professionals who understand your organizational goals and are here to help you succeed. Fifth Third Bank, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
So Jair has to prove that he can get back to that as well. So while they are all good, or they all were good last year when they did play, I do think that that group has some question marks that have to be disproven.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew, brought to you by Boucher Automotive, with 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Can't waste any time this morning. Got a lot of stuff to get to with our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Can't waste any time. Isn't that basically all we do usually during this period?
I'm glad he said we and not you.
Well,
I would always say we. Come on now.
I mean, not just this period, Jason. We heard a story from Chewy about how he may or may not have seen a large man wearing a Brazilian cut bikini on his drive-in this morning. So,
am I the only one that doesn't know what a Brazilian cut bikini is? Like, y'all seem very aware of. I have no idea what a Brazilian.
Shows more cheek.
Okay.
It's more cheeky. It's very English.
Thanks for clearing that up for me. Jason, where do you stand on holograms? Apparently, Harry Carey hologram was toted out last night at the Field of Dreams game, and mixed reviews. Gabe is very anti-hologram.
Nah, it's out. I'm out. All the way out on holograms.
What does Gabe like less, holograms or preseason football?
Preseason football.
Whoa.
Wow.
I mean, because one is basically like resurrecting the dead and using them to create a level of nostalgia for a game.
And the other one is even worse.
The other one is the preseason.
Jason, we know.
You don't want to hear how Jason feels about the holograms?
I don't. I don't like it.
I thought it was kind of cool.
Go ahead. No, okay.
It's kind of creepy, but it was kind of cool.
Like,
don't you think?
Like the guy in the bikini.
No.
Yeah, that's still
that was
disturbing.
Not a hologram.
I was hoping it was. Jason, we know Aaron's not going to play. Who else is not going to play?
Oh, ooh, no. How much time do you have?
Is Aaron Jones going to play? Is A.J. Dillon going to play?
No.
Sammy Watkins.
No, which I think is interesting. Don't you?
So to me, Jason, if Sammy's not playing, I think his roster spot
he's
is
making
safe.
The team.
Yeah, that was a really good assertion by Gabe earlier this week.
Alan Lazard?
Yeah. No.
Preseason sucks.
Yes!
I mean, want to go to the other side of the ball? Jair's not playing. Stokes isn't playing.
Well,
Roswell Douglas
that.
Isn't playing. Adrian Amos
Kenny
isn't playing.
Clark.
Darnell Savage isn't playing. Like
Mercedes Lewis?
Nope.
Why would you think Mercedes Lewis is going to play, man?
I got to see
the
more.
Tight ends, man. They always play.
Yes. Wow, this is really going to be vanilla.
So, Jason, what should we be paying attention to? Like offensive line, special teams? Are these areas you can actually like learn something tonight?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially when you consider that the offensive line that will play tonight could be their opening day offensive line if Jenkins and Bakhtiari aren't ready. And remember, while Goody used the word will
be ready at some point. Will, he also said that we expect them to be ready early in the season. He didn't say ready for the opener. So whether they pup them, whether they carry them on the 53 but don't play them in the first couple games, there's a very good chance that the five that you'll see tonight will be the five that play on September 11th. And I asked Rodgers about that at his locker on whatever that was, Tuesday, and I thought it was really interesting that he flat out said that we'd have to play differently and we'd have to game plan to account for that. I mean, it's clear that that is not a very good group, right? I mean, whenever you're talking about your offensive line and pointing out that you have your two best players missing, like, Chewy, that's not what we did back in the day, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Hey, Bruce is in there, and we just go, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Like, John Michael stinks, but we got to figure out a way to make it work. That's kind of the vibe I get right now, and that's what they have to do. They don't have a choice. So until Bakhtiari and Jenkins are healthy, they're going to have to play a different way, and if that means the first week of the season, if that means the first 3 weeks of the season, I'm convinced, and again, we have not seen Elgton Jenkins take a single snap of any sort of football since he tore his ACL in Minnesota in November. I'm convinced they want Bakhtiari and Jenkins to be their tackles. Obviously, Bakhtiari on the left side, but I think they want Jenkins to play right tackle, and then they'll kind of figure out what kind of amalgamation of interior alignment it has to be, whether it's Jake Hansen or Royce Newman or Zach Tom at right guard, and then obviously it's Josh Myers at center. And I like John Ryan, John Runyon, who's playing left guard, but I feel like he really is benefiting from everybody else stinks more than him. And so we're not really looking at him and saying, well, this guy's and I'm not ripping him. I'm just saying this guy's, it's not like he's like a 7-year veteran. Like he's still growing as a player too. And he's certainly not as good as he's going to be. And yet he's kind of gotten, for us anyway, a free pass this training camp because we're thinking about the other guys on the other side of the line that are even less experienced or are playing even worse, for lack of a better term.
What are realistic expectations for Bakhtiari and Jenkins in terms of when they'll actually play?
So, being someone who is cautious by nature, which you guys know about me, I certainly, and Tausch and I talked about this the other day, I'm not playing Elgton Jenkins or David Bakhtiari in Minnesota. I'm taking my chances without them because that, to me, with the noise and being a half a step slow, and for Jenkins being the place where he tore his ACL, I just don't think it's worth the risk. Like, especially after all the crap I've been through, if I'm LaFleur and Gutekunst, with Bakhtiari's comeback, I'm just not, we'll figure it out. We'll chip and we'll keep a guy in, or we'll spread things out and get the ball out of Aaron's hand quickly, but I'd rather face Za'Darius Smith without putting those guys at risk. I'd rather lose the first game, frankly, than put those guys out there in that environment and have something catastrophic.
What are the chances?
Just me.
What are the chances they go on PUP, Jason?
Well, so to me, this is one of the things about a little-known rule change this year that actually benefit the Packers, and in my opinion, makes it more likely, not a slam dunk, but more likely that they both start on PUP. And that is, as opposed to previous years where that meant 6 weeks, it only means four. So I don't know why the NFL decided to change that this year, but they did. And so it means you're missing the first four games, not the first six, because obviously they don't have their bye till late in the year. So they would miss less time, and it would give you more roster flexibility if you pupped them both. But Goody insisted earlier this week that they are not resigned to the fact that they're both going to start on PUP. And if they're ready and Doc McKenzie and the medical staff clears them, great. I just, again, especially after what you've been through, look, I would think this is human nature, but again, I'm not a doctor, so doctors, I assume, say, look, we're going to look at case by case. We're not going to let other prognosis or our prognosis are for a different player. But after what I just went through with Bakhtiari, if I'm Doc McKenzie, I'm not rushing Tonyan out there. I'm not rushing Kylan Hill out there. And I'm not rushing Jenkins out there. I'm just not.
Jason, very quickly before we let you go, where do you stand on splitting the bill when you go out to eat? If you order significantly less than the rest of the party, do you expect to pay the same amount as everybody and just split it four ways, five ways, six ways, whatever it is? Or do you expect to only pay for what you ate?
So this is a great question because I don't drink alcohol. And whenever we would go out in a big group, if we just divided it equally, I always got hosed. The beauty of technology in 2022 is when you go out with a large group, which I've done a lot, especially when I'm on an expense account. Boy, that,
okay, brag.
When I go out with a bunch of sports writer buddies at the combine or whatever, you say, if we're very generous in our tip, do you mind doing separate checks? And I am a huge fan of the separate check. I don't mind tipping a little extra for the extra effort. And it's really not that much extra effort as compared to like when Paula was waiting tables in high school at Applebee's.
But see,
I'm a separate check guy.
Do your buddies look out for you because you don't drink alcohol? And the reason why I ask that is because when I was in Scotland, Jason, like we there was an app and people would take turns kind of, you know, picking up checks. But we didn't expect as much back from Tony Smith because Tony also doesn't drink alcohol. And a lot of times alcohol is like the most expensive part. You have a couple of rounds and I'm not expecting Tony to finance my alcohol. So if I ever went to big group of dinner with you, you're not going to finance my alcohol either.
God, it's amazing that someone so good-hearted and kind and such a great teammate can be so wrong about preseason football.
No, he's right. It sucks.
I got Chewy on my side now, Jason. Yes. Look out.
And as we often say here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, when Chewy's on your side,
you know you're winning.
Start rethinking some
things. You know you're winning.
Jason, we appreciate you. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
You can, of course, listen to Jason Wilde on a number of programs here on ESPN Milwaukee and, of course, on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Coming up next, we've got Craig Karmazin. I'm going to ask him about the bill thing, too, because he is notoriously wealthy. He's very wealthy. He's got more money than me, for sure. So when we go out, he should have to pick up the tab, right? We're all in agreement he should have to pick up the tab?
Of course.
Thank you.
I mean, he probably would.
Stop being so nice.
I feel like he's pretty generous. I mean, he's the boss, man.
When Gabe does these things, don't you eye roll just a little bit? Like, oh, here we go again.
All right, Jen, this is the last time you get a ride to the airport.
Morality barometer over here.
It's not true. I'll probably give you a ride to the airport next time you need one. The only place to get Lightbox lab-grown diamonds is the Jewelry Center here in Milwaukee. A new selection of Lightbox jewelry now available. 1.5 or 2 carat loose diamonds if you're looking to give some stud earrings. The Jewelry Center, of course, has options 2, 3, 4 carat total weight Lightbox diamonds. But the greatest part about the Lightbox lab-grown diamonds is the price. You can get those earrings starting at $1,900. They range up to $3,400. Learn more about Lightbox jewelry selection at shoptjc.com. Browse all their inventory. That's what I did. I went to shoptjc.com. That's how I got my wife's engagement ring. I went into the jewelry center in Greenfield. That's where I got my wedding band. It's where I got my watch. It's the great place to go for all of your jewelry needs. Stop into Brookfield, Greenfield, Burlington. Shoptjc.com is the website. It's great only at the jewelry center.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
I think we miss Chris in so many different ways that we don't even realize, especially on the defensive side and the defensive rebounding side in this series.
Fridays with Mo.
You can't leave Kringle out for 24 hours.
Dude, come on. You think that's... I'm not the Kringle cleanup repair man.
Now he's flexing his owner muscles here.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday. Getting down on Friday.
Craig, 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 Craig. How you doing today, Craig?
That was a lot of time saying my name.
It was like Todd, 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 Todd from Mel Kiper. I have a question for you. Every Friday morning, I start the show by saying, congratulations, you've made it to the end of the week. And every Friday morning, Gabe gives me a hard time saying, you haven't. You haven't made it to the end of the week. It is only the beginning of Friday, not, in fact, the end of Friday. Why do you keep saying this? Is it okay that I'm trying to manifest having a good day for our friends who are just starting their days?
No, I think that's normal. I think that's the way people think. I mean, as I've told you, I don't view it that way, but I do think once you've made it to Friday, you're feeling that end. But I think it's important that you run through the finish line, right? So I get what Gabe's saying. You can't just like look at like the end and then, you know, someone's going to run past you before you cross that finish line.
Yeah, but what if you're up by 17 points? Can't you just put it in coast mode?
I mean, if you're going to put run it in the your ball. Backups, then you don't, you take the day off. But no, you can't go. No, it's not football. It's baseball. Like, there's no timer that's going to run out. Like, it is.
You got to get all 27 outs.
Yes, exactly.
You're up by 9.
Still got to get the 27.
You got Hader. We're good. No, wait a minute. You don't have Hader. You got Rodgers. Not that Rodgers, the other one.
The other Rodgers?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rodgers and Bush.
Aaron says the preseason's worthless. Gabe says it stinks. I'm leaning towards Gabe. No one's playing tonight. Where do you stand on preseason?
I'm leaning toward Wildy in a shocking turn of events. I think these games matter. I think it's annoying that, and it's understandable that Aaron's not playing. I don't think it would help Aaron that much. I do think it would help some of the other players playing with Aaron. But I think, like, if you love football, I mean, Chewy, you watch these, like, AFL, AAFL, USFL, XFL. Like, this is, like, guys, like, fighting for their careers and their lives, and it's seeing the real jerseys back, and it's seeing guys who you haven't seen yet. I mean, I think obviously it's not week one, but it's good.
Yeah, but do you have to grade Jordan Love on the curve then? If he's playing with Kaka?
I don't know that I even looked that. Yeah. No, you're saying on a curve positively or negatively?
Negatively.
No, all you can, if he looks bad, then you know it's bad. But if he looks good, you take it with a grain of salt. Like, there's no positives
can
you
look
can take
okay
out of this.
And be like, well, the O-line stinks and the receivers ran the wrong route. You got to kind of give the guy a little bit of a pass.
But if he...
No,
but if
Gabe,
he,
there's some throws he could make and some individual plays where you're like, oh, that's good. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to necessarily trust him at Kansas City week 11 or whatever, but I think you could see progress, and I think, you know, you're not gonna trade for someone based on, you know, one good preseason game, but I think you can, I definitely think you could read into what you see on the field.
Okay, so what are you excited to watch for tonight with nobody playing? You tell me the exciting position battles you're looking for, and I want you to name specific players since you're so excited.
Oh, I'm not excited. I'm excited.
You said you sided with Wildy, and Wildy is excited for preseason football.
Romeo Dobbs.
Well, Wildy's like knows what's going on. I have a life. I don't know what like these position battles. Like I can't name like who's like a offensive lineman outside of the guys that everyone knows. Like I'm not at that level. But it's fun to just see that the NFL's back, and
But it's not back. It's not back until we hit that opener, which is what, September 9th, 8th, whatever that Thursday is. That's when the NFL's actually back.
I'm not sure Craig has a life. I mean, he just threw that out there. We just rolled right over it, and he was like, I'm not watching the football the way Jason does. I have a life. Yeah, it on the poll, Jen Gabe and Chewy. Does Craig, in fact, have a life? Let's just see what the public thinks, Craig.
If anyone watched me, if anyone watches me, I actually think that I may be faking it. I may not have a life. You might be right.
So you got to understand, Craig is 1, a Jets fan, 2, a Cleveland Browns fan, and then 3, a Packers. That's why he doesn't know any of the guys. Now, if you ask him about the Jets, he'll be like, yeah.
Well, Craig, the Packers are even further down on the list now, right? You're a Rams fan before a Packers fan.
Oh, yeah, Rams. I am definitely Rams house, way before the Packers these days.
Craig, you agree though that Aaron Rodgers shouldn't see a lick of time in the preseason? Or do you want to see him in that third game kind of working? You know what I mean? Like, there seems to be, we're not going to see anybody tonight as far as starters go. They've already made it clear who's on the veteran exempt list and whatnot. But third game of the preseason, do you want to see the ones out there?
Yes, I do. And I do just because, again, not because Aaron needs to show anything or do anything, but I think for Aaron to see, Aaron's so smart and so observant that for him to see how different guys respond in actual game conditions, I think would help in week one. And you know, we saw what a disaster week one was last year, and I know they still get their 13 wins that they automatically get when Matt LaFleur is your coach, but I don't think it would have been as bad had the ones played in preseason.
Matt LaFleur with Aaron Rodgers gets his 13 wins, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, if you got 13,
I think there's an advantage. I think there's a big advantage of seeing how all the other guys respond when you're in, you know, a real situation.
But given how they bounced back from that, Jason, last year, week one, disaster. But to still win your 13 games that you have, doesn't that just prove it's not worth the risk of playing these guys in a game that doesn't mean anything?
No, I mean, I think the biggest thing that we've seen is that winning 13 games and getting the one seed may not assure you anything. And, like, getting the bye doesn't matter. And, like, you know, maybe it's all about just getting into the postseason healthy. So even if they win 11 games, it wouldn't have mattered. But, no, I think you want to be a cohesive team. And I think they don't have the continuity offensively, whether it's the offensive line or the skill positions, you know, to the degree they have had in the past. And I think there's a benefit. And if they're going to get hurt, like, you can get hurt in practice. You can get hurt anytime. I just think, you know, the worrying about the fluke injury of running a few series, I just don't see that as being as big a risk as others.
What the hell are they going to do if there's no preseason games? Have camp for a month and a half? I mean, you go insane as a player. You know, it's so boring. It is boring.
Oh, I'm sure.
Actually, the preseason games make it kind of interesting.
I mean, the NFL's getting crazier. It is getting more boring every year. Like, it used to be that family night, Chewy, we would be interested in family night because you'd actually see some things on family night. Like, now I think people's families might be playing on family night. I don't even know if the players are playing on family night. It's so changed even in the last 15 years.
It's like field day back at school. Like,
bring your kid to work day.
We got the three-legged race over here and the egg toss over here, and it's family night. Hey,
it's
Craig.
It's like, wow, Mason Crosby's brother just beat Amari Rodgers' dad in the three-legged race.
Craig, you've probably seen this story on social, right? The story is that this woman who is 23 years old goes out to dinner with her friends. She orders an appetizer and a drink totaling $22. Her friends order drinks, entrees, desserts, etc. And at the end of the meal, they say, let's just split it. When they split it, she ends up having to pay $84. Who needs to rectify that situation? Does the woman need to speak up and say, hey guys, I'm not in that tax bracket yet. I can't swing the $84. I won't be able to pay my electric bill. Or do the friends need to recognize, hey, not everybody can pay $84. And also, that person didn't eat/drink the same as the rest of us, and they need to make amends for it.
She needs to recognize that she isn't very secure in her friendships if she's going to do it and then drop it on social. I mean, what a friggin' passive-aggressive move that is, right? Like, you can talk about it in the moment, but you're gonna drop it on social media. You know, get some security in your friendships and be able to talk about it face-to-face.
So, to be fair, I don't believe that the woman herself posted it on social. I think her mom did. So
I think that makes it worse.
So she definitely was like venting to her mom about it, and maybe was like, mom, can you Venmo me some money so I could pay my electric bill? And I'm making up the electric bill thing. I don't know if like it absolutely affected her finances, but maybe that was the concern. So the mom posted it on social media, and then people were weighing in. And look, I think that most people say that it's not right, right? It's not right for everybody to have to pay $84 when she only ate $22 worth of food slash drinks. But I think it comes, the next level of it is, how do you rectify it? Is it on her to speak up in that moment and say, no, I didn't eat $84 yeah. worth of stuff?
I mean, all the time you're with people when you're splitting bill, like, hey, I didn't actually drink, so I'm just going to throw in $20. Like, that's so common. Or I didn't drink, I'll throw in $10, depending on the meal. Like, that is, I mean, that is, that's on her. I mean, that is very easy. Like, sure, like, other people could have been like, oh, wait, you didn't have this, or you didn't drink as much as we did. But they're drinking. Like, that's the last thing they're thinking about. Like, you didn't drink, it's on you. You know, hey, I didn't drink. I'm gonna throw in $20. Or I got here after the meal and I only had dessert, but I'm still gonna throw in $20 for the for dessert and the tip. Like, that is totally on her.
I love that he threw in, they're drinking. They can't possibly be able to make rational decisions, assess the situation.
Well, I mean, you can't count on them to be doing the math on how much people who didn't drink or did drink. Like, at that point, just be happy that they know how to split the bill.
Yeah, I mean, after $84, that's like probably four or five drinks there, Craig.
Gabe was saying
that could be like two in New York.
Location is important here.
Gabe said she just needs new friends. Like, it's time to remove yourself from that friend group and go find some other people.
Find out with that non-drinking friends.
I mean, I'm not going to be friends with her if she's going to her mom to like try to get the, you know, I mean, come on. I think she should be happy she has those friends, and she should be willing to pay the extra money just to keep any friends.
Whoa. Okay.
Man, that's aggressive.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. I'm going to be real honest. Like, did not see it taking that turn.
I'm from New Jersey. We directly communicate with people. We don't, that's not how it works. You don't go to your mom and have your mom go to the social media. That, I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're like, do you want to fight? I'm from New Jersey.
What was that mean, Craig?
I just watched The Captain. I'm in episode 7. I'm in total New York mode.
Terrible.
I mean, that's the deepest Craig impression you've ever done.
Who, Craig?
You.
Yeah, my other one's better. I don't think he likes it, though. They took it out of his intro.
Craig, we appreciate you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Look at Chewy waking up on Sundays listening to Sunday Karma. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Yeah. Took it out of the intro? Oh, when you were talking about Harper knows more about Harper knows more about the players than I do. That was a good one. That was nice.
Spot on.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but we roll on right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What time out here?
What's up?
You can't have two teams. You get one team.
Yeah, I thought you could have one each
league. No, first of all, I can do whatever I want.
Whoa.
Second of all.
Yeah, Chewy.
Wow, I just got served.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you missed any of Craig Karmazin or Jason Wilde's appearances here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, you can find those on Wisconsin On Demand. Or wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, any of those spots. I liked what Craig said at the end because it was funny, but I don't necessarily agree with it, where he was saying, like, you don't complain to your mom and then have her post on social media. Like, clearly this woman doesn't feel comfortable saying to the group of people, and sometimes it's because you're the only one, right? Clearly everyone else felt okay, or at least was seemingly okay paying the $84. She clearly didn't spend that much. She clearly didn't eat that much. And as Joshy has said, this is three times. We're not talking about $5 here. We're not talking about $10, you know, where you can justify it in your head, like, well, a tip or, you know, whatever it is. This is three times what she actually ate when she was out to dinner. I put it on Twitter asking what needs to happen here for this to be rectified. She needs to speak up, or her friends need to recognize. Gabe, where do you stand on that one?
She's got to speak up. Because again, if it's a large group of people, they may not realize. Like, if I'm sitting on the other side of the table, I'm not keeping track of what you're eating, what you're drinking. Like, I know if you're sitting right next to me, maybe I might notice that. But if drinks are flowing, I'm talking to this pal, I'm talking to that buddy, maybe I'm switching seats at some point. If I don't really have that interaction with you, how am I supposed to know that you only had a drink and an appetizer? Like, how am I supposed to know that?
She should have spoke up. When the waitress came around and said, here's the bill. Hey, how do you want to do it? Everyone just split. She should have said, well, I didn't really have that much, so.
And in your experience, are people tolerant to that? In your experience, yeah. If I were to say, like,
I think so.
And now, again, taking my normal tone out of it, because as we all know, I struggle with tone. But if I were to express to you guys that I didn't enjoy as much as you guys did, I didn't imbibe as much as you guys did, but would you be like, oh, yeah, no problem, Jen. Just throw in what, you know, throw in what you spent.
Yeah. But I mean, if the girl's busting out the calculator and like, well, let me just 18% is what I normally, I'm like, get out of here.
You're See, done. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth.
But yeah, I mean, if it's...
I mean, if she's a pain in the ass and got lost, right? I mean, in that situation, hey, here's $30. That's good.
Well, here's $25.72. Like,
she's busting out the Seinfeld tip calculator. Yes.
Yes.
That, and then, you know, we can estimate here. You can round up. If you end up paying 30 instead of 22, I think you're going to be okay.
I love that you're not as tolerant as you think you are. You're saying like, ah, it's no big deal. We'll make it work. And well, then you're going, but that's what I'm saying. He's setting the standard for what she can and can't do when ultimately all she's trying to do is accomplish the same thing, which is pay for what she had.
I don't want to hang out with cheap people unless you're entertaining. Like Chernobyl Corn. There's value there. So where normally you pay a cover charge to see him, you got to back that out of the bill because he is kind of funny, you know? I mean, you just look at him and laugh. I've showed you the picture I have of him.
Yes.
It's a little compromising, but fair.
There's another thing where, like, have you ever been in a friend dynamic where you enjoy the person's company so much you don't care, like, what it may cost, right?
And I don't
necessarily think that they should take advantage of that, but if you're like... No, I love spending time with you so much. I have no problem picking up the extra percentage or whatever it is. Well,
that's the thing. I mean, if this is a large enough group where you're spending $84 and she spent 20, like you said earlier, Jim,
yeah, that's a big gap.
Like, how are you not like, you know, once she speaks up, like there's a chance that she has this picked up by her friends. Like, oh, but I only spent $20. Okay, we got that for you. We'll cover it. Yeah, because you're spreading $5 per person extra. Like, who cares? At that point,
I know. What's the gap? So if her obligation was, say, $25, would you let $40 slip?
I think it depends on the person. Right, because that's what I was saying. You can justify, like, oh, well, here's a little bit extra tip, you know, for having to split the bill or whatever. You can make yourself, you can convince yourself. To me, this comes down to the principality. To me, this comes down to principle, right? Like, I'm happy to spend a little more than I actually ate/drank.
Sure.
But the principle is, like, you guys should kind of recognize a little that I didn't. I know you're saying it's hard when you're drinking and all that stuff to recognize, but, like, no, I'm not going to pay for your food. And I'm going to pay for all of your food.
Yeah, but you have to speak that up then.
I agree with it. Oh,
you got to say something.
Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to right now? Jed, you have to speak up.
It's not you specifically. It's like the royal you.
Yeah, most of the time y'all are like, Jed, you need to shut up.
I don't hang out with people that don't drink. Only wear women's underwear and bikinis. I got to find that guy.
We'll ask our loyal listeners. See if they can help us out. Somebody knows something, okay? We're going to flash the light bulb in their face interrogation style and find the man running in the yellow Brazilian bikini. That's next.